Well, it's a huge honor to be here on Easter weekend. We've had some amazing services ourselves at our Pine Rivers location this weekend, just seeing God do amazing things. Incredible to hear the testimonies coming out of this house as well this weekend. The amazing water baptisms this morning, as well as all God's been doing. We know everything in life flows from the amazing leaders and staff and pastors a part of your church. And can we just honor your location, pastors? Pastor Kay, honor Pastor Jared, and love on these guys. As Pastor Kay was saying, if you don't know me, Pastor Carolina was my youth pastor. Myself and Shen, we grew up in her youth ministry many years ago. I'm actually the same as Pastor Kay, is that when I grew up, I want to be like Shannon as well. So that's the vision for my life. It's the call of God in my life is to be like Shannon. Last time we were here, we actually hadn't announced yet that we have a third baby on the way. So we have two little girls. Harlow's with my parents right now in the back, being like heathens, not sitting front row, but it's fine. No, I'm just kidding. I love you all at the back. It's fine. We have our little girl as well here who's making some noise at the front, her Novarane. And we have a son on the way, which is incredible. I was full immersion girl dad, so I was just doing the girl dad thing, full immersion, suppressing every testosterone in my body. Then I found I was having a son, walked out of the GP after finding out I was having a son, and just something came over me that I just I'd never felt those feelings. Like I feel like it came out of my mouth as we left the GP. I was like, I feel like I need to climb a mountain or something. Something just came out of me, like just these emotions I hadn't had. Prior to that, we'd had two girls that obviously bought multiple guns, but now I've got a son on the way. I'm like, he needs to get a job. Like, I don't know. It's always emotions are happening, which is really cool. We obviously, I don't know if you saw, you probably didn't, but we obviously announced we're having a boy and things like that on social media and all those modern day things. And you know, we announced his name's Barnabas Blaze and things like that. And a few people were like, oh, that's pretty controversial. You've said his name already. And obviously to that I said, shut up. So let's do whatever I want, you know. So, also, just, you know, I'm a little bit more Christian than you. Many times in the Bible, the Lord said, you're going to have a son, here's his name. So the name was often said prior to the child being born. So get off my back. But no, it's good. But it's a huge privilege to be here. And I'm excited. Like I said, just as a pastor, as a preacher, just one of the high points of your life to be able to preach on Easter Sunday. And I'm believing God wants to do a work in our heart as we lean in to his word this evening. And the title of my message is Life Abundant. Life Abundant. John 10, 9 to 10 says, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, someone say, I have come, so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Someone say, I have come. Easter is an amazing time of the year where it reminds us of one of the most catalytic, life-changing, continent-shaping, constitution-writing, human morality, compass-forming, man-made ideologies, empire-overhauling ideas that came, and that is that Christ came and dwell among us. That he came born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem as the fulfillment of the prophetic word that one day prophesied in Genesis that through the seed of the woman, it would crush the enemy's head. That the prophetic word came into life in this moment as Christ was born. If you're excited that he came, can you say amen tonight? You see, he came and lived a sinless life, a perfect life. He came not simply as an exception of what the human experience was meant to look like, but came as an example of what the full human experience in perfect union, in unity with God, was meant to look like, dwelling among us as fully God and fully man, walking among us, inviting us in to what life is meant to look like, one of freedom, of hope, of peace, of joy, walking in the fullness of life that was available. Christ wasn't just an exception, he was an example. An example as a standard and invitation for the life that he has called us to. He came and sacrificed his life. He poured out his life. He came and, as we know, on the cross of Calvary, gave his life. And as that blood hit the ground, as we heard from Pastor K, earthquakes happened. Dead people were raised. The sky turned black. There were people who were once mocking him and spitting on him. In that moment declared, surely this is the Son of the living God. This wasn't the moment of death. It was the moment of the ultimate revealing of his identity as the Son of the living God, as the Lord Most High, as the Alpha and the Omega, as the bread of life, as the living water. He was the one, the righteous one who would come to set us free. If you're excited about that, would you say amen? But why did he come? You see, he came in John 10, as we read, to give life and it in abundance. You see, there is an invitation of Jesus to not just live. He doesn't just want you to have breath in your lungs, go through the motions, live an autopilot life where it's stagnant, it's stale, it's in survival mode. God isn't just inviting you into life, but life and having it in abundance. That there is an abundant life that Jesus is inviting you into. It's not simply that he would give you a ticket to heaven one day. Christ doesn't just want to give you remission for your sins. He wants to give you a redeemed life. He wants to redeem every aspect of your life. He wants to redeem your marriage, your finances, your broken relationships, your past, your addictions, your pain. God requires not simply to give you a ticket to heaven, that one day when you would die, you would go to heaven, but rather give you a redeemed and eternal life that's available now. It's abundant life. It's abundant life. You see, friend, if you believe that death is the doorway that gives you a redeemed life, it's one day when I go to heaven. One day when I go to heaven and I die one day, then I'll have eternal life. If you believe that, then you don't think Jesus is your savior. You think death is your savior. You think death is a thing that accesses the fullness of God. Rather than realizing Christ offers you eternal life and it in abundance here and now, that you would be an example of what it is meant to look like to walk in union with God. It is life and life abundant. But you see, friend, oftentimes we think God is trying to get us to stop swearing, stop smoking, stop doing the naughty things of life. Friend, the reality of a sinful life or a one separate from God is, yes, it may result in behaviors and destructive patterns and thoughts and mindsets and things that can rob us away. But the reality is, he's not trying to simply give you behavior modification. He's trying to transform you from the inside out. Your nature is corrupt. Your very way you act is broken. And he doesn't just want to put a band-aid across it. He wants to remove it and give you a brand new nature, a divine nature, one that would walk as a son and a daughter of him. There is nothing within yourself that can save you. If you could save yourself, he didn't have to come. If you can set yourself free, he didn't have to come. If you could do a 30-day plan to break that habit, he didn't have to come. There is a corrupt nature in and of yourself that is debased and away from its original design, and God wants to kill that and invite you into resurrected life. He wants to invite you into the resurrection. It's not just a historical moment we look back on. It is an invitation of the Lord. But you see, friend, he's not coming to kill or destroy parts of your life that are your unique design, that are part of your identity, a unique part of your personality, your gift set, the way he's made you. All he's trying to remove from your life is who you were never called to be anyway, to invite you into the trueness of the life that you were always meant to live. But friend, we see in scripture, we see in the life of Jesus, through the words of Jesus, we see that there is a standard. There is a standard of righteousness. There is a standard that is required to live, dwell, and be among the presence of the Lord. And it is a righteous one. It isn't one where we just have a good moral standing. We have good status in the community. We have our bank statement looking good. We have enough friends and a good social status and things going on in our life. It is a righteous standard. That no amount of earning, no amount of striving, no amount of hard works is going to get you to the righteousness that Christ desires for you. It could only come through an invitation where Christ would replace us on that cross, die for you and I, replace the price that we were meant to pay, and invite us into the life that he now has. The price that he paid, you were meant to pay, friend. The guilt, the shame from past, present, and future on that cross that day was paid for, and invited you in to say that as he took your sin, he replaced it with his righteousness and now clothes you with a robe of righteousness, his crown, a ring on your finger, and called you as a king and a priest, as a son and a daughter, and invites you into the life that you could have never earned and never attained by yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made the one, Christ, who did not know sin, be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friend, what you need to understand is Christ didn't simply take away your sin, he became your sin. You see, friend, if you have a theology that you think he just took it away, it means something in your heart believes you can take it back. But if you believe he became your sin, you believe then that he killed it on that day. Which means that it wasn't just Christ on the cross, it was Chris Hodgman on the cross. It was you and I on the cross. That on that day, he just didn't die for you, he died as you. That all of your sins, past, present, and future, the sins that you don't even know you're about to make, the one in 10 years, 20 years, the mistake, the heartache, the failures, the things where you disobey God, those things that you know about and the things you don't know about, all those things were pinned on that cross today as that you were the joy set before him, that he didn't just died for you, he died as you. Which means that if he died, you died. Which means if he died, you died. Which means if he rose again, it means resurrection life is available for you. It's no longer just a martyr, prophet, man with good morals that we look back on as a historical figure. Christ is the righteous one who made life and life abundant available for us. Life is available, friend, and it comes through the Son. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, I think it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ reminds itself that the blood of Jesus is still enough, that the grave is still empty, that the tomb is still empty. Friend, that as we read in John 10 verse 9, that Christ is the gate. That right relationship is not the gate for life for you. That career is not the gate. Enough money in your bank account is not the gate. Can I be bold enough to say that Buddha isn't the gate, that Muhammad isn't the gate, that New Age theology isn't the gate, witchcraft isn't the gate. It is Christ. He is the only way that you can be saved. He is the only way. He's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And by faith in the Son of God that he gave himself for us, we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled that day, that when he rose again 3 days later, it is still enough. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm yelling a lot. I only preach one way, so get used to it. The question is, was the blood enough to save me or was it not? Was the blood enough to heal me or was it not? Was the blood enough to set me on fire or was it not? Was the blood enough to restore my marriage or was it not? Was the blood enough to kill my pride or was it not? Was the blood enough to kill my sin or was it not? Was it enough to free me from my sin or was it not? Was it enough to break off poverty mentality or was it not? Was it enough to loosen that oppression in my mind or was it not? Was the blood enough to give me life and life abundant or was it not? This is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Is he enough? Because if he is enough, if he rose again, it changes everything. We can't go about our lives as C.S. Lewis says, that if Christ is real, if he did rise again, it isn't a case of it's either of infinite importance. If it's false, it's of no importance. And then I'm up here preaching for the next 60 years, hopefully 70. I plan to make the triple digits. I want to crack the 100. Because then I get a letter from the queen, or the king, sorry. Get a letter from the king. Who knows? Maybe a queen again. Who knows? What's the thing, the genealogy thing? Who knows? The king's pretty old. He's kind of got a last little stint, and then some. Not speaking over his life. I'm just saying, he's, the queen took it on young, is what I'm saying. Yeah. But I wonder, friend, what you have settled in, that yes, you love Jesus. Yes, you've been following him, you've been coming to church. Some of you have even been serving, you've been leading, you've been helping build his house. And it's noble, it's incredible. God honors you for it. He's on your side, his hand's on your life. He's never left you, he's never forsaken you. He's never turned away from you. He's never been separate from you. But I wonder if there's things in your heart where you think, yeah, it's Christ and also this. Right, it's him. Paul determined that he would only preach Christ and him crucified. That Christ is the gate. His blood is enough. If he rose again, it changes everything. It no longer becomes just a historical moment that took place. But it means that death, hell, and the grave is now defeated. And we can step into resurrection power. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 says this, "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors. Not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished, spotless lamb." Friend, I don't know about you, but I know me, I can resonate with this text. That my life was redeemed from an empty way of living, from one that was just far from God, rejected his notion, played the church game, dipped my toe here and there. But I knew those things in my heart where I had different stuff going on. I had pride in my heart. I had different things in my world, insecurities. It was an empty way of life. But he's redeemed us, friend. And you may resonate with this idea of inherited by your ancestors. We know this is speaking about the sinful nature that we inherit and are born into. And yet in your world, you may have curses, heartaches, addictions, thought patterns that you've inherited from your generational line. You've inherited from your parents. You've inherited from your family line. The way you think, the way you act, the mindset that you've been built around, the postcode you were born in, the area you grew up in, you're carrying these mentalities that aren't even yours. You simply inherited them. And it's created an empty way of life for you. But Christ desires to redeem your life, friend, through the precious blood of Jesus, not through silver or gold. You know, this beautiful part of Jesus is that there is a promise we see in Peter where Christ is described as that, and also says this in Revelation, that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Which means yes, he came incarnate, flesh and bones, walked among us 2,000 plus years ago and dwelt on earth. But before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Which means, friends, no matter what you've inherited, no matter what area, no matter what region, no matter what family you were born into, no matter what mentality you've grown up in, brokenness, poverty, different things like that, no matter what you've inherited, the reality is brokenness isn't your foundation, Christ is. He came as the foundation that the blood was spilled before the foundation of the world, which means before even one person was created, God desired to make a way out, said, no matter what my children decide, no matter which way they go, no matter whether they reject me, spit on me, mock on me, there is a foundation of the blood of Jesus that is made available from the foundation of the world, that there would always be a way home. There would always be a way back. There would always be a way for you to find freedom. This is the Christ. This is the one. Romans 6:7-7 says, "So we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin." The old self was pinned on the cross that day. Every sin you know about and everyone you don't know about, past, present, future. Friend, if you were the only person on planet Earth, he still would have died because you were enough. You were the joy set before him. You were the promise. You were the prize. You were the singular focus that he had in his mind when he died that day and gave his life. And when he rose again, he made a way back. He took the keys of life and death. He plundered hell that day and came and made a way for you and I, declaring that there is a way out, friend. That when you cry for help, he responds every time. There is a way out. Some of you have felt hopeless. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no way out. There is a way out, friend. His name is Jesus. He declares he's the way, the truth, and the life. But as we were, that old self was crucified that day with him, that he became sin. He took on all depravity, all sin. The wrath of God was funneled towards him that day, and he consumed it and quenched it that day so that we could live free, rendering it powerless, putting on public display and humiliating the enemy. The day that the enemy thought he'd won. Friend, sometimes we give the enemy too much glory. We think the enemy can read our minds and we think the enemy can tell the future. You've got to understand, the devil is not God. That day Christ died, he didn't know he was about to get back up. He thought he'd won. He thought that he just tricked humanity into killing God. He had no idea that day. I can't imagine that day. In that 3 days, as Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, plundered hell. Can you imagine the devil that was Alvento rostered on the front gates of hell that day? He was standing there, probably on his smoko, and then Christ appears at the gates of hell. It was a bad day in the office. And he comes and it says, and Peter preaches the gospel to every person imprisoned all the way back to the days of Noah, which redeems all of time, which reveals even the flood with that day of Noah. It wasn't an act of judgment, it was an act of mercy because he knew his son was coming to preach the gospel, the past, present, and future. And it's available for you tonight to be free from sin. But friend, you have to believe. Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. The key clincher to this text is believing in our heart, but ultimately, in order to step into life and life abundant, it isn't simply receiving Jesus as your Savior, but rather as your Lord. You see, there is a big difference, friend. You may end up in heaven one day, be eternal life one day, living with Christ for all of eternity. When you receive him as your Savior and believe in your heart, it says it's credited to you righteousness. But salvation, being saved, healed, and delivered, life and life abundant, comes with the confession of the mouth that he isn't just Savior, but he is Lord. In other words, I lay down my life. I surrender my entire life. I give my whole life to him. I'm not going to just get my ticket to heaven. God, I want to be saved. I want to be healed and delivered so I can be effective here and now for the kingdom of God. Not just waiting one day when I get to heaven, but rather bringing heaven to earth. Jesus is Lord. If I could have the team come, that'd be amazing. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If everyone closed their eyes, that'd be amazing. Friend, the question for you tonight, maybe you're here and it's your first time and you're like, why is this blonde dude yelling at me for the last 25 minutes? He's just saying a lot of stuff I don't understand. Maybe here, call City Point home. This is your church, this is your fam. Regardless of where you're at, where you're positioned tonight, the question for you is firstly, do you know Jesus? Not do you know about him, not have you been to church a few times, not did you grow up in a somewhat religious home that, and you found yourself here tonight, or you kind of get around it every now and then because it's Easter weekend, so you kind of found yourself here. Do you know him? Do you know him as your best friend? Do you know him as your comfort in the dark times? Do you know him as the one you cling to when all hell is breaking loose? Do you know him as your Savior, as your Lord? Have you laid down your life for him? Friend, he is the gate. Some of you have been walking through all the different gates of life, and you've known on the other side of it, it's led to heartache, dissatisfaction, emptiness in your life. But he is the gate that will redeem everything. The most beautiful part is he's done it all. The blood is enough. The cross is enough. The grave is empty. The grave is defeated. All you have to do is receive him. Believe in your heart. Say, yes, I'm all in. I'm saying yes to Jesus tonight. Friend, I don't know what you're going to walk into tomorrow. Maybe on Tuesday when you head back to work. Maybe what got coming up for the parents in the room, school holidays in 6 months' time, 12 months' time, 10 years' time. I don't know what life holds for you, but the only promise you can rest assured in is that your eternal hope is secure when you choose to follow him. It's the only assurance we have in this life. Life throws seasons at us, heartaches, pains, disappointments, things we pray and fast and intercede for. And for whatever reason, it feels like the prayers are never answered. Sometimes there's questions we have in life. But the only thing that's assured is eternal life with him when you believe upon him. So whether you're here, like I said, for the first time, or you've been coming a little while, you're still checking this whole thing out, with every eye closed, if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, whether it be for the first time, as a recommitment, you made the decision 6 months ago, 10 years ago, but you've been distant from him, you want to come back to the Father, recommit your life back to God, walk through the gate of Jesus again, that he is the gate, receive him in your heart again. Or maybe you're not totally sure you're saved, you want to have that assurance to know that my salvation is secure in him. Whether for the first time, a recommitment, or you're not totally sure you're saved, but you want to be. On the count of three, I just love you to be really brave. Shoot up your hand nice and high on Easter Sunday. What an amazing day to make a decision to follow Jesus. On the count of three. One, two, three. To shoot up your hands. All across this place. Yeah, incredible decision. Amazing decision. Anyone else? Let me see in the middle. Front to back, left to right. Don't miss this moment. If we could all stand, that'd be amazing. Father, we thank you for every decision here. God, we thank you they weren't a light one, but they're an eternal one, Father. God, we thank you for those here tonight, Father, that our hearts would be open to receive the good news of Christ, Father. God, that you came to give us life and life abundant, Lord. God, to heal every ailment in our body, to renew our mind. God, to restore our life, to redeem our life, Father. God, from the empty way we've been living. Father, we thank you, God, as a church and as a community, for those who put their hand up or didn't get it the whole way up, but they know this moment is for them. We thank you that the old is gone and the new has come. God, and from this moment forward, God, they would step into life and life abundant. We thank you for that, Jesus. We celebrate you tonight. Come on, church. Can we celebrate every decision here and celebrate them? Incredible, incredible. We thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for everyone here. God, that we thank you in this season. God, regardless of what they're walking through, God, whether they're having a mountaintop moment or a valley season, we thank you are with them through it all, Father. God, that they would offer their praise and glory every season, Father, celebrating, walking in the resurrected life that you have for us. And we thank you for that. Come on Easter Sunday, can we celebrate Jesus one more time? Come on, give him all the glory, all the praise, exalt him. We love you, Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you were with us today. If you want support for prayer, or maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus, make sure you click the link below and make it a personal connection. Thanks for being with us. We can't wait to see you next time.